Hello and welcome to Pro Money Talk. Peter's on vacation this week, so I'll be holding down the fort myself. Hope you don't mind. By the way, I'm Jason Papier. And I'd like to start the show off by recognizing several listeners who have written in to ask questions or to give advice recently. First, I'll start with one of our clients and a friend, Jeff Bolter. Also, Erica, Evan, Witt, Blake, and of course, our good friend Greg. Thanks again for your comments and questions. The most common comment that I receive, other than people asking planning questions, is, Jason, you're not a very good audio engineer. And I'd like to say you're right. But we hope to solve that problem soon. We've begun looking at working with audio professionals in an effort to polish the show. The bad news is that we've already got a couple shows in the can, so you won't notice a difference for a while still. The good news is that the shows that are coming up don't have phone interviews, so the quality should be okay. I'd like to remind all our listeners to make sure to visit our website, promoneytalk.com. There you can sign up for our email list, you can send in questions, or give feedback. One thing that I'd like to get feedback on is we've been thinking about creating some sort of community, maybe a bulletin board, something built around the email list, calendar, that sort of thing. If you have any suggestions or comments on that, love to hear from you. This week's show is an interview with Judy Lawrence. You can find more information on Judy and her services and books at moneytracker.com. Judy's been working with successful professionals for over 20 years. She works with cash flow planning and budgeting, and she's a good friend of both Peter and myself. In this show, you're going to get great information on the importance of budgeting for the wealthy and the soon-to-be wealthy. I really think that you're going to enjoy this interview. Today we're speaking with Judy Lawrence, who's the author of The Money Tracker and The Budget Kit. Both those can be purchased at your local bookstore, through Amazon, or through Judy's website. Judy, can you give us your website address?
Yes, it's www.moneytracker.com. That's moneytracker.com with no spaces.
The Budget Kit, for those of you who are not familiar with it, is a perennial bestseller. You've sold over 350,000 copies, and it's now in its fourth edition, right?
Fourth edition with the current publisher, Dearborn Financial. However, it's been in print continuously for 25 years.
Wow. So. And before you got a major publisher, you were printing this yourself.
I had self-published it back in 1980 for the first part of the 80s, and then Dow Jones, Irwin had come to me, and they wanted to publish it, so they published it for the middle 80s to late 80s, and then I went with Dearborn around 1993 and have been with them ever since.
Fantastic. What I like about the Budget Kit is that it's really as it says, it's a kit. It's in a workbook form, and you use it every year. You'd buy a copy and fill it out, and you can rip out some pages and put it in a binder, and it's really a really great tool, something we actually use with some of our clients here. Now, Judy, I've never asked you this, actually. Tell me how you got into working with people.
I do budget coaching and budget counseling.
She does budget coaching and budget counseling with individuals. How did you get into this?
You know, I was born and raised in the Midwest, and there's something about the Midwest with being conservative and all of those qualities, I think, just stayed with me. And I'd moved to New Mexico and lived there most of my adult life. And I was seeing that a lot of people in different circumstances just did not have a natural sense of how to manage their money. I worked as a realtor for a few years, and I kept seeing these young couples not having a clue what to do in terms of how much can they afford as far as a mortgage. They didn't know. So I kept trying to create worksheets to help them understand what their budget situation was. Then I worked at a college in Albuquerque, the Technical Vocational Institute. In fact, that's the college that Bill Gates had gone to for a little while. And I was an admissions counselor there, seeing women who were re-entry students. They had been widowed or divorced, never handled money before, very overwhelmed by it, very intimidated by it. So I wanted to create something that would be user-friendly and something they could pick up and actually understand the first time they ever used it. And then I worked on the Navajo Reservation for a few years and saw a whole different element of challenging finances, and that was kind of the credit area. So I was creating some form to help people understand, how do I fit my debt into my overall budget to make sure I'm making payments appropriately and staying on top of everything. So after a while, I started creating all these different forms to help understand different features of the whole cash flow, and next thing I know, I was creating a workbook.
It really shows in the book, because it comes from a humanistic point of view. I mean, really how people interact with money, what their relationships are with money. And the Money Tracker, the other book especially, mm-hmm. sort of works you through the flow. It's more than just record this here and record that there.
Definitely. And one of the differences that really showed up in the very beginning is I was coming to it from a very layperson perspective. I had a master's in guidance and counseling. I'd been working with people directly. So I was more tuned into that whole emotional side. So when I developed the budget kit and then later developed the Money Tracker workbook, both of these were always about helping the consumer feel better, feel more confident, you know, just feel like they're more empowered when handling their money. And because I sat down at the kitchen table, literally, with people year after year, hundreds of people, I had a good sense of what was bothering them, what was confusing them, what did they need to do to better understand how to put this all together. I would take, it would be like this big puzzle, this chaos with all these pieces, and they just didn't know how to pull them all together so it made sense. And that's what I would do with people when I'd sit down with them, and then the workbook did the same thing. So what I bring is a real layperson approach versus the professional accountant or bookkeeper or business person who has a different kind of language that the layperson doesn't always understand.
Budgeting is something that's important for everyone. And in fact, our listeners are successful people, and obviously my clients are quite successful. And yet when I meet with clients, I talk about budgeting as an important part of their financial planning. I am not a budget coach, and I don't do that with them, but we talk about it. Why is it important for people who are wealthy to budget or to practice fiscal
responsibility? Right. Actually, there's a number of reasons. And even years ago, I was working in a financial planning firm, and I was the marketing director there. And I would see so many times where the clients would invest X amount of money, and then various events would come up in their life that they hadn't anticipated. You know, there was a wedding, or there were graduations, or there were new homes, whatever it was. And they kept pulling their money out. And I remember the financial planners were always getting a little bit frustrated that their clients weren't planning a little bit more carefully. So I often saw that happening, that they still needed a basic budget, some basic concepts to stick to. And now, with the current economy where people are not being as confident that they're going to have their job for the next 10 years, their pensions are being affected, their investments in many cases have been just wiped out, a lot of people are having to change gears who are used to having wealth and are used to not even having to look at their checkbook or having to bother to balance anything. So in the mix of all of that, I find that having a core sense of how your money works in terms of your basic budget is still important for all levels of, finances. So I see it quite often with people who do have a lot of money. The main thing is they feel like they don't have a lot to show for it. That's who I end up working with a lot. They have great income, they live well, they're comfortable, but when it's all said and done, they don't have as many investments as they could. They don't have as many real estate holdings as they could. They don't have a strong security blanket of an emergency fund as they know that would be prudent to have. And suddenly they're realizing, I need to make some changes here.
Yeah, and I see that as well. One of the things in my practice, I try not to say the B word,
of
the
course.
Budget word. Right.
We can dance around that. Spending
right.
plan,
right.
lots
spending
of other
plan.
Words.
Because it does have an emotional response sometimes. But what I find particularly important, and I don't know if you've found this or not, but just the practice of writing down what you're spending. You don't have to go into it trying to cut back spending, but once you write down what you're spending, when you actually see what you're spending and what you're spending on, I find that people naturally tighten their belts a little bit, because sometimes their spending patterns don't reflect their, I guess, their beliefs and their goals and what they're trying to do.
And when I'm talking to people about the spending plan and tracking their spending, coming up with a system for anticipating their expenses, I am looking for what are their values, what are their priorities, what are their goals, and then as they look at their spending, is their spending really in alignment with what their true values are? And that's where it shows up. If you take the time to write this out or at least think about it, and one of the key beginning steps is just to raise one's awareness, be more conscious of their overall attitude about money, their overall patterns and habits about dealing with money. And tracking is certainly one way to start the process. Sometimes I'll have people do some other steps, which we'll talk about. But tracking, in so many cases, will help you identify some of those spending leaks that you didn't even realize were there. And I have found year after year after year, people say once they started tracking their spending, they really found that they were spending less and saving more, and their lifestyle did not change at all.
Yeah, and that's sort of making money out of nothing. I mean, that's powerful. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things we may also want to talk about is what is important when you're setting up a spending plan. You know, I actually have what I call kind of the three core pillars of setting up a budget. The first piece, and all of these are actually are in worksheet format in the budget kit, and they all were developed over all the years of working with people and seeing what works best for them. Sometimes instead of having people start with tracking, because some see that as drudgery and deprivation and why should I have to do that, when I can sense that that's where they're at, I don't even start there. And I'll start with, let's get an overview of those periodic expenses, which I call that yearly budget worksheet, which just indicates maybe an annual expense, your property taxes, your car insurance if you paid every 6 months, it could be some medical expenses, it could be your pet vet bill that you do once a year, the holidays, gifts, going through your life, your household, and seeing where are those periodic, quarterly, semi-annual expenses, writing all of that down so that you get an overall picture of those periodic expenses. What is the total of that? And if you were to divide that by 12, what is that really coming to on a monthly basis? And so what is that monthly impact? And what I find is that many people will look at that, and I'll have to remind them, this is not your monthly budget. This is above and beyond monthly budget. And people are often shocked how much is there when they see on a monthly basis, my God, that's an extra $1,000 that we normally don't have. And usually what happens is that extra $1,000 spills over onto the credit cards, home equity loans, all of those ways that over time it builds up and lands on the debt. The second step then is to actually create a plan for each month. And that means going beyond just the average. A lot of people do their Quicken and they put all their numbers in, divide by 12, and say, okay, this is our average budget. And for some households, that works. But if you're really wanting to fine-tune it and improve the overall picture, then I encourage people to actually sit down at the beginning of each month and outline the obvious fixed expenses, you know, your mortgage, your car payments, your gym dues, all those things, and then get into the variables, your utilities, your groceries, your gasoline. Gasoline, we know, is really variable now. And then we move into the part that everybody seems to overlook. And those are those discretionary, the latte factor, you know, how many Starbucks trips, how many movies, how many videos, how many DVDs are you going to be renting, how much will you be spending on dry cleaning, are you going to have your hair done, how much personal care is going on in the month, what about your pets, what about your children, do they have events coming up at school that you need to know about, are your college kids needing that extra $50 here and there. So it's thinking it all through ahead of time so that you start becoming more proactive about all of your spending. So you're proactive about the month, proactive about the year. And once you have that picture, then people start realizing, well, how do I know how much I spend on books or on lattes or on groceries? And that's when they're kind of motivated, like, gosh, I wish I had a way that I could track this. It wouldn't be so much work. And then they look at the budget kit, it's all spelled out. All the worksheets are there for every single month, and it makes it a lot easier. So then they're motivated to start tracking for a purpose. It gives them information that they can utilize somewhere else versus just tracking for the sake of tracking, which then seems like a big chore.
Mm-hmm. And you talk about the ups and downs of spending. There might be, you know, in December you may spend a lot more, and in different months mm-hmm. you spend a lot more. And so they need to just pre-plan for that. I work with business owners and consultants who have the opposite problem, that their income fluctuates. Mm. It may get a lot one month, it may get a little the next month, and it's very difficult for them to plan ahead. And oftentimes they get into debt because they get used to living a lifestyle during the when the money's flush, and then when the money's not there, it's tough, and they have to use credit cards and to cover the debt, and then they get back up again. How can budgeting help somebody who has
variable income?
Who has variable income, right?
Mm-hmm. And that's really a good question. And more people are running into that because we're seeing more and more people are moving into owning their own business. It's kind of the shift if they're being downsized from work and they're becoming solopreneurs and giving it a try, or more people are getting into the multiple streams of income, doing the multi-level programs. So variable income is a very important place to pay attention to budgeting. It seems like, well, how can I budget if I don't know what's coming in? But that's when you actually need it more than ever. Just because your income is not there doesn't mean your expenses go away. So you do have your core expenses. You do have your core lifestyle. And it's important to know exactly what is my bottom line amount that I need to have coming in. And even just being clear about that sometimes has an impact on how hard you're going to work to, if you're in sales or whatever it is, to make it happen. Plus, when you then get the big bonus or the big commission or whenever it comes in, instead of just thinking, oh, great, I finally have some money and then spend, instead you look back and you realize, okay, I've created a budget. I know what my basic needs are. I know what my more comfortable needs are. I'm going to put that much aside so that I now have the next 4 months covered, because that seems to be the swing of my commissions. And I have a set amount that I will pull out of savings and pretend that that's my paycheck. And then when I get paid again, I may realize I have a little bit extra to get the extras, or put it aside to become my salary in a way.
Yeah, normalizing the income stream is very difficult for people, and it's something that's not difficult if you use the budgeting tips that you've mentioned, but it's something that people struggle with.
And I actually have a whole section in the workbook, which I added because of some of my clients. I know I had one couple, he was a partner in a law firm, and they were dealing with that all the time when they would have settlements. And so his wife was getting quite frustrated with putting this budget together. And because of a number of times I ran into that, I created a whole section in the workbook just to address that variable income situation.
I've noticed a couple other trends and with some of my clients, and that is some of my clients now are taking care of their parents.
Oh, yes.
And some of them have adult children who have moved back in, and these bring up unexpected stress, and a lot of that has to do with the money.
Mm-hmm. And it again goes back to coming up with some type of a plan. If you know what your basic fixed plan is for your household, then you know where you stand. So then when you realize, okay, you have additional expenses coming up to take care of your parents, you're having to pitch in, maybe with your siblings, you're all pitching in so much, or the reverse, the children are home, they're eating more at home, they're needing to use the car, or they're needing to borrow money to do whatever, it just means adjusting your budget again. I've had many people say that they didn't have to budget once they had a set system in place. They knew what their limits were and what they were spending. But whenever there would be some kind of a major change, they'd have to revisit what their plan was and change the categories, change the amounts. And so when you've got these two issues going on, it may mean you're having to cut, you may have to cut back on some of your investments because you're needing more money. Or you may have to, if you can work more or can do better with your commissions or whatever, it may mean having to shift more to how will I bring more money in. Or it may mean that you're looking at the current spending and realizing, well, this really isn't in alignment anymore with my true priorities, because I do want to take care of my parents. I do love having my children here, and I'll take care of them. So I'm going to cut out some of these other categories or expenses, or cut back a little bit just so that I can make this all work out. But again, having it on paper, having some kind of an outline, gives you a better sense of control over it, so you have a framework you're working from.
From my point of view, a lot of times people don't save enough in retirement or for retirement. How important is setting goals, like your retirement goals, for the budgeting process?
That can be critical, because if you want to, if you've been working with your financial planner and you realize how much you're going to need to put aside and invest each month in order to create an investment value of whatever, then you know, okay, I need to find a way that I am putting X amount of money aside. So having a clear spending plan is more critical than ever, because it helps you see, you know, how am I going to cover my insurance needs? How am I going to cover my retirement? And making sure I even put additional savings in, so that that savings is working, well, that is invested in a way that's going to be working for you. And you're right, there's a lot of the baby boomers and many others who have been postponing that whole saving and that whole investing. And even those who have, unfortunately, a few have been really hit with, you know, some of the recent economic times that has affected the investments they have had. So it's still very critical.
Then they retire and they need to be able to live on what they've saved. So they're going to have a budget during retirement to make sure that their money lasts them their entire lives.
And as we're seeing, people are living much longer. They're being around longer. They're living more vital, active lifestyles, and that's having a major impact too. So it is really important to think through, well, how many years are you going to be around, and how much do you need to be saving to cover all of those years, and the health care situation, the traveling, you know, the grandchildren you're going to be involved with.
Right. Yeah, and don't underestimate that. A lot of people think that, well, when I retire, my expenses are going to go down quite a bit because I'm not working anymore.
Mm-mm.
The opposite is true. You have a lot more time now to spend money,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
you want to do things. You want to enjoy your retirement. You want to travel. You want mm-hmm. to visit your children and your grandchildren, and you want to buy them presents. And so we see people typically spending just as much in retirement as they did pre-retirement.
And the other thing is I see a lot more retired people starting up businesses. You know, they, which in some way is good because it keeps someone very active, and hopefully it is very successful, so they then bring in another stream of income.
Yeah. Well, talking about family and retirement and kids and grandchildren, one of the things that people can do for their children is to teach their children about budgeting. Children mm-hmm. come through the school system and are ill-prepared when they grow up and they go out into the real world on how much they can spend, how to save, what they should be thinking about. And in part, that's because they don't learn these things in school. And in part, mm-hmm. it's because finances are something that a lot of families keep secret. Mm-hmm. Mom and dad sit down and talk about the budget and the finances when the kids are in bed. And it's not something that they're open with, typically.
Exactly. And when I'm talking with clients, I am emphasizing all the time, no matter what the issue is, remember you are being a role model for your children. Even if you're not talking directly to them about money, about their own budgets, you're role modeling your stress about money if you seem to be having arguments about it, or if you're holding back and you're saying, no, we can't afford that. You're giving them a lot of messages about how money is handled, how it's not handled. They get the message, is it a secret? Is it something that's all about arguments? Is it something that's very confusing? So those are kind of the side things that are going on for families.
And I'd mention also that for those who are affluent, our clients and our listeners, that because they have money and because they can spend money, it gives the impression to children that that's how people interact with money, that they can spend money. And again, they're modeling behavior that may not be right for their children, especially before their children reach success and affluence themselves.
It's in a way, it's a real catch-22. I've talked to so many parents who have been very comfortable, and they have given their children a lot. And so there's a variety of ways this can end up. But in some cases, there's that sense of entitlement. The children are so used to having things covered, having things taken care of, they don't really have the opportunity to learn to use their own resourcefulness, to learn to use their own problem-solving skills, to really learn to be self-sufficient. So then when they are on their own, they have their degree, they're out there, they're expecting to have a very similar lifestyle that they've always had, which has always been supplemented by the parents, and suddenly it's not there. And this can be a real drawback for a number of young adults. So I always caution parents, because I know they do everything out of love for their children, but at some point it's important to hold back and give the children an opportunity to learn from themselves, from their own mistakes.
And talking to your child about budgeting, and when they're young, and especially when they're teenagers, maybe working them through the budgeting process and making them create a budget and work on a budget, can teach them how to be fiscally mm-hmm. responsible.
Oh, totally. In fact, I was talking with a a patent attorney recently. She was wonderful, and she had this beautiful little 11-year-old daughter, and the daughter was talking all about her budget. She had her allowance that she was getting every week, and she knew exactly what she could spend on her allowance. Because I asked her, so do you know what you have to spend and then what your mom pays for? And the mom will cover the clothes, and mom will cover some of the other things. But then the daughter knew exactly what she was responsible for with her budget. And when what that does, when you give children money through allowance from as early on as you can, they start learning to manage their money more effectively. They'll take care of their toys better. They'll take care of their property better. And you'll see different personalities come out. Some of the personalities will be hoarders right from the beginning. They won't share money with their sisters and brothers. And then you'll see the other little ones that no matter what you tell them, they're giving it away all the time. So it's a great way to start, though.
So what are some of the tools that our listeners can use to get started with the budgeting process? I know that there are some online tools now. There are some software tools. There are books.
There's a ton of information, and in a way, all that information can cause confusion because I find some people get paralyzed with shopping and shopping and researching for just the right tool. And in some cases, I just say, just stop and start. Pick something. Pick a book, pick a software, pick whatever. You're not necessarily going to find the perfect piece of software. The main thing is to stop the procrastination and start. There's not a whole lot out there that is that different because this is such core information. It can be presented in a lot of different ways. But I really encourage people, if you have some software, find easy software that fits your style. If you're the online kind of person who does all online banking, all online bill pay, and you want to have everything online, there's enough systems out there. Envelopes is one of the companies that's an online financial budgeting system. And I know I've mentioned them in the budget kit. And there are different ways that people can pull it together. And in households, you may have one partner who likes to do it electronically, and you'll have the other partner who just likes the comfort of the manual approach, writing it in a book. So that's where the budget kit comes in real handy, or the money tracker comes in handy, because you have something that you can see and hold in your hand. And the budget kit also actually has an Excel form that they can get on my website at themoneytracker.com. And with that Excel, it looks just like the forms inside the book, and all the formulas are there. So it's important to know, are you the type who likes to be pencil and paper calculator? Are you the kind who likes a little bit of Excel? Do you want the sophisticated software? Whatever it is, use it. Find it and use it consistently. And that's the key difference for people to be successful with it, to stay with whatever system they come up with.
And not only matching their style with the system that they come up with, but maybe also matching their style with the type of advice that's given. For instance, you have the two books that we've been talking about, The Budget Kit and The Money Tracker, and they take something of a different approach. Can you tell our listeners?
The Budget Kit is really the nuts and bolts. It's everything you need to set up a spending plan. I mean, it covers all the basics in there, but it also has extra worksheets. So the flexible spending plan, or keeping records for your taxes, keeping records for your medical information, even subscriptions and online shopping, or the TV infomercial shopping. I even have worksheets there so you can keep track of all of that. So the idea is to help you stay totally organized and then give you a system for putting an organized budget together. The Money Tracker book is actually unique in that it bridges the emotional aspect of looking at your money and your spending patterns, as well as a little bit of the nuts and bolts. So you have worksheets in there where you can track where the cash goes every day. So it's mostly kind of tracking your cash. But then you have a worksheet like the Splurge Diary, where you track the emotions. There's questions in there to ask you, what were you doing before, during, and after a big splurge at the mall, or big electronic expense, or you decide to buy the big plasma TV? What was the emotional experience going on during that time? And what needs were you really trying to fulfill? And so there's journaling in there and questions in there to help you get more in touch with the emotional side of your spending.
See, I find that fascinating. Mm-hmm. I'm something of an amateur psychologist, I guess. We all are in our business, understanding why people are doing things and helping them understand why they're doing it, and like you said, modeling good behavior and doing the right thing. I want to ask you a couple more questions about the Money Tracker.
Mm-hmm.
How do emotions you were talking about emotions, mm-hmm. writing down your emotions. Why is that important? How does that play into the budgeting?
Well, let me give you one example. I have one client whose husband loves to pick up the tab all the time. No matter what restaurant, and no matter how big or small the group, oh, no, I'll pick up the tab. And, you know, we started talking about that. What is that all about? And it's important to be looking at the reason behind your spending, because their budget was not always allowing for him to pick up the tab for everybody, but he just felt that he had to do that. He was compelled to do it. It would be embarrassing if he wouldn't do that. And was it that he needed to feel in control, which he did? He needed to look good in front of other people, because if he didn't do it, then he wouldn't feel he looked as good. And that may be the truth or not the truth. But then I had her, you know, I was talking about, well, what about the giving and receiving? Because he felt very special that he was giving and being able to cover it. But then, you know, other people were wanting to pay the bill, and he wasn't being as alert that other people wanted to pay, and they weren't given the opportunity to even participate. And people need to give as well as they need to receive, so it goes both ways. And one time he was in a situation where someone else grabbed the bill, and he felt awful. This client was feeling bad, like, why did that other guy pay? Now he felt embarrassed that he didn't have a chance to help out, and he never put the two together. Well, that's what he does to other people when he's always grabbing the bill. I mean, that's like one piece of it. But another is looking at how is money used in terms of buying love or substituting love. Maybe there are parents who aren't home as much as they'd like to be for their children. They're not available as much, and so to take its place, sometimes they're buying more things for their children, trying to substitute their time and their love in some cases, using things and money. And it doesn't always seem obvious, but there's a lot of ways that money and emotions are going on all the time, are tied together.
I know that some people buy things because it makes them feel good.
Mm-hmm.
They're sitting around the house and they want to do something. So, oh boy, I'll go to the mall. And they get up and they go to the mall and they do some shopping and they buy some things and they feel really good. And they come home and they feel really good. And then, you know, their garage is full of stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And when the garage is full of stuff, that's when you want to take a look at it. You know, it's one thing if you buy something, you know, it makes you feel good and it's a reasonable amount. It's another when you keep buying and you don't tell someone about it. You don't tell your partner about it. You start hiding things. You start kind of grabbing the statement so people aren't seeing. That's when you want to start paying attention to what's going on. And literally, there is a whole addiction involved with shopping. I mean, they have actually done studies where they've put the little electrodes or whatever on their head, and they have measured how your whole system goes into that peak right before you're about to purchase, and then at the time of the purchase, and then it goes into the spiral after you've made the purchase, and by the time you get home, you're already, you know, on the other end of that. And then you'll see a lot of people sitting there with unopened boxes and bags of things because they're already past the whole high of the event.
So this book really deals with why people have spending problems, or why they're spending their money in a certain way, rather than how they're spending it.
I'm a little bit of both. It's how they're spending, but it's the why, so that they can get to the why themselves by going through some questions and really just taking the time to slow down and stop and look inside, using those questions to help guide them in that process.
I think that's really powerful. Give me some stories about people who have had budgeting issues and by focusing on it have come out ahead.
And turned them into successes.
Have turned them into successes.
A couple different examples. On a tiny example, one woman was tracking her spending, and she realized that whenever she was having an argument with her husband, she would go out and she'd get the chocolate latte and then the chocolate croissant. And after a while, by keeping track in the budget kit, she started realizing, oh, there's a pattern going on here. And then she thought, well, what can I do? I'm really trying to make myself feel better. But she realized, I love art and I love being creative. So instead, she started because she saw the pattern, she started shifting over to going to the art supply store and then taking more time to do art and doing something creative. And that was much more satisfying for her. So she was able to evaluate her spending, look at the picture, and make some real positive changes. On another level, I have worked with a number of different people who have gone through divorce. And I can think of one woman in particular who had been used to a very, very wealthy lifestyle and hadn't really managed the money much herself. And so she didn't feel like she had understanding or control of it. But when she had to be on her own, we worked together for quite a while. And what was very exciting was to see her completely turn around and gain the confidence in managing her money and start to make very responsible decisions for handling the money that she was getting after the divorce and doing great things with it. And she was able to start a business. But then even more importantly, she felt wonderful about herself, that she had confidence she had never had before. But then she started talking to her children who are now in their 20s, who are all used to always having money. And she realized it was important to start role modeling to them, to start talking to them, and helping them become more independent. So that was a real success story for her to totally change around her personality and her lifestyle.
That brings up something that we hadn't talked about and hadn't occurred to me until you were giving us that story. It seems to me that if you have a spouse who has a spending problem, or you think that they spend a lot and they don't think that they spend a lot, it might be powerful. You might be the one who's sort of the money person, the person handling the money in the relationship. And it might be, instead of having these arguments over and over again, turning some of your financial planning, if you will, over to that other spouse, particularly the budgeting, so that they can see it and experience it and feel it, might be a way that both sides can see eye to eye.
And that's an excellent point. And I have actually mentioned that in the budget kit. I have a whole few paragraphs called who's the family budget director and what to do about that. And I actually encourage couples to trade off, and that means trading off maybe every 6 months or every year. And trading means who's going to pay all the bills, who's going to make the decisions, who's going to be balancing the statements, who's going to be looking at all of this. And the reason I encourage that is, one, often people will take their roles. One who's good at it just assumes it, and the other one is busy doing something else. And that's fine, but then the person who's not good at it never does get good at it and never does get the whole picture. And then when you start having those conflicts and you're saying, hey, you know, I've been watching the budget, we need to cut back, and they're saying, well, what do you mean we have to cut back? I just brought Peggy check home yesterday. What are you doing with all the money? If that other partner was getting more involved with managing the money on a regular basis, every 6 months or every year, so they saw how the household was changing, they saw that the teenagers were eating more, they saw that their clothes were getting more expensive, they saw they were more active, they would realize where money was going and get a better understanding. So that's the first part that's important. But secondly, you never know if that partner could be in an auto accident or some accident where they'll be laid up for months at a time, or if there would be a death, or if there's a divorce. And those are stressful events as they are. And one way to prevent, you know, even extra stress is to at least have familiarity with how the budget works and what your household situation is. So, yes, I definitely encourage that trading off process.
And that's what you mentioned about death, divorce, and somebody not having control of the finances or not having knowledge of the finances. We covered that in an earlier show that our listeners may want to check out. It's financial intimacy, and we really talked about the need for both partners to be involved in the finances and both partners to have an understanding of the couple's finances so that if something happens, the other person can be self-sufficient.
Definitely.
So, Judy, obviously it's important for everyone to do budgeting, wealthy, people who are high-income earners, people in all stages of life, people, you know, teenagers, parents, even grandparents, people who are retired. So everyone can use help with their budgeting, but a lot of people have difficulty starting, and they may need need some help.
Mm-hmm.
You provide some of those services directly, and you also do some seminars. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, thank you. I really like to do what I call jumpstart people, help them get started if they're at a stage where they need to create a budget. And at my website, at the moneytracker.com website, they can any of your listeners can sign up and sign up for my newsletter. I have a monthly newsletter that's free. I also have an e-course, a 7-week e-course that just takes you through some of the basics that you're on your own. Every week you get another segment to run through. I also have the budget kit and the budget kit in Excel and books as ebooks on my website. But I offer personal budget coaching. I do this by phone nationwide and have been doing that for quite a while, and I have various packages available, and a lot of people just email me or call me, and my email address is judy@moneytracker.com, and I offer whatever level you need, and what my real gift is customizing. And I don't have any kind of a straight nuts and bolts formula. I listen to what's going on with that particular individual or the couple or the household situation, and will help customize a system for them. I take them through the process. They'll be writing the numbers down, and they'll be making the decisions, but I guide them through that process. So it's a lot of coaching and counseling that I offer people.
And you've been doing this a long time. You've seen everything and helped all sorts of people. So I know that there's some embarrassment sometimes that goes along with that. Even for people who are doing very well and are very successful and just need to do some budgeting as a way to make sure that they're not wasting, to make sure that they're saving everything that they can save and setting something up for children, grandchildren. Yet sometimes people still feel uncomfortable. There's no reason for that.
There really isn't. And I will say, when I do talk with people, I know that they do feel very comfortable with me, because I am skilled at this. I've been doing this for a long time, and I know how to put people at ease with it. And most of the people I am talking to are on that high level. They have great jobs, they have great education, they have great income. And I do work with a number of people who are at that level, because it is a little, at times it seems embarrassing that they have to admit this, you know, that they're not quite as sharp as they'd like to be in the area of budgeting, just because they haven't had to bother to do it in most cases. But I do certainly enjoy working with people and putting them at ease and kind of just giving them a little bit of the guidance and the direction that they are wanting to go, and then set them on their way.
Good. Well, first of all, thank you for being with us.
Well, thank you. I've always enjoyed this.
Good. Mm-hmm. And I hope that this helps our listeners understand why even the most successful people need to focus on budgeting, and how it's important not only for them, but that they model it for their children and for their future generations.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Okay, a lot of good information from Judy there. It's always nice to talk to a friend and someone who has such a positive impact on people's lives. Remember, you can find show notes and information on past shows at promoneytalk.com. Make sure to sign up for the email list while you're there. Well, I hope you enjoyed the show today. For Peter, I'm Jason, and until next week, here's to your success.